Well, last week we did verse 18 through 25. And just to review it real quick, Paul was really setting, you know, our sufferings of this present time. He said they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If you set one next to another, it's not even a comparison. It's not worthy to be compared. He goes through the next few verses in that passage that he says that the greater the glory which is to be revealed will swallow up the lesser. It's such a bigger difference, a greater difference compared to this life, momentary, everlasting life. There's no comparison. The losses with the gains. We see, as Paul talks about the present suffering, he mentions, you know, that it can be traced back to the fall, that it was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. He said that the fall created or caused, the effect of the fall, caused all of creation to fall. So he talks about in the big picture, all of creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now, anticipating, looking forward to, the Bible tells us, a time when they will also be delivered. All of creation, looking forward to the time when the revealing of the sons of God, the time when we get our new glorified bodies, when Jesus returns with his church, all of creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Paul teaches it'll bring a deliverance not only to us, even not only creation groans, we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan within ourselves. The groaning of our part within creation, the big picture. Paul, kind of wrapping up the idea with the expectation of creation. They eagerly wait. There's an anticipation looking forward to this time when the sons of God will be revealed, when Jesus returns, when he makes all things new and changes and restores creation. All of creation looks forward to that time with anticipation. And, you know, he relates that to us. It's like looking forward to the future glory. And we also are to have that anticipation, expectation, looking forward to the future glory, the glorified existence in eternity with God. And faith brings that glory to the present. And Paul says, the greater will swallow up the lesser. How to live in victory by the Spirit through faith. Looking and bringing the future glory, the hope of glory, to the present by faith. Paul relates that word the definition of that word, eagerly waiting. It's like sticking your neck out for a bus, you know, kind of engaging in our faith, you know, and if we drew the comparison of two people, you know, looking, waiting for a bus, you know, one of them sitting on the bench taking a nap, the other sticking their neck out looking down Gratiot, man, when's that bus coming, you know, looking at his watch. And that bus is late. Where is it? With an anticipation, an expectation. Paul says, you know, it's that faith that brings the hope of glory to the present, that expectation. Picking up in verse 26, Paul says, likewise, chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're going to cover all of that tonight. Let's pray. Father, again, we look to you and we thank you. Lord, do work in us, among us, to maintain a spirit of worship, Lord, as we look to you. We ask you to open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to your presence, that we might hear your voice, Lord, to be restored in your plan and your purpose. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, with your with an expectation and anticipation of what's up and coming that you have for us, Lord. We commit this time to you. We ask that you intervene and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. He says, Paul, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We see, you know, that chapter 8 is all about the deliverance for the Christian, how to live in victory. And compared to chapter 7, how the inability of the flesh. And again, he mentions how the Holy Spirit helps. Helps in our weaknesses, he says. The help of the Spirit. First he says, likewise. You know, that word means in the same manner, or ditto. The Holy Spirit helps us according to or in the same measure of a thought he just made in the last passage. And, you know, it could be that he's implying to sticking out our neck. It's like eagerly awaiting, you know, the revealing of the sons of God, our future, the glory, or for one who lives for eternity, one who sticks out his neck or reaches out his hand to connect with his unseen hand, one who lives by faith. You know, likewise, Paul could be implying that it could be in that same measure. Ditto. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. You know, James talks about the same thing. He says, you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. In the same measure, he's implying. You know, you take a step towards God, God will take a step toward you. How to find God? Where to look for him? Engaged in faith. And the Bible tells us in Chronicles that the Spirit of God came upon the prophet Azariah when he went out to meet King Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In the same measure. If you really want the Lord, spend time with him. He'll be with you. You know, if you look for him, you'll find him. You know, if you forsake him, there's a warning, you know, tagged along. He'll forsake you. Now, implying or applying to King Asa, but the same kind of thought, you know, that likewise, in the same measure, the same manner, ditto. He says, the Spirit helps, or also helps, the help of the Spirit. The word means, you know, as two would carry the same load. It's used only one other time in the New Testament. Let's look at it. It's in Luke chapter 10. Story we're familiar with, but how it connects here. Look in verse 40. Jesus in Bethany at Mary and Martha's house. In verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, she's not helping. You know, to help carry the same load, the only other time this word's used in the New Testament, would mean that, you know, to come with and help. She's, you know, she was sitting at Jesus' feet, Mary, and Martha's saying, you know, Jesus, help, you know, she can wash some dishes. She can serve the guests. She can, you know, take part in the work, do some of the chores. What's interesting, it's kind of a, you know, ironic, the only other place it's used in the New Testament, because she said, I'm left alone to do this help. But we're never left alone. and this help that he brings. Let's turn to John 14. Look in verse 16. Jesus, the night of his arrest, comforting his disciples, tells them of the helper who is to come. And I will pray the Father, chapter 14, verse 16, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The help that the Holy Spirit brings, Jesus promising his disciples, he's with you, he's going to be in you. If you ask him in, he's in you. The help of carrying, you know, sharing as two would carry the same load. His help is available. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. We're going to go slow through this verse. Our need for help. Paul mentions, you know, we have many needs for help, but Paul, talking about this one, he's saying that we have a weakness in prayer. For we don't know what to pray as we ought. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to articulate so often and express ourselves to God. You been there? I've been there so many times. You know, really, when you're really in need, you feel, oh, man, I really need some help. Then you really start to articulate, oh, God, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. It's hard to articulate exactly the type of help we really need. It's hard to express ourselves. Paul says we don't know how to pray as we ought. We know not what to pray for as we ought. You know, there's a good example of that in the scripture when the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and knelt down. The Bible tells us in Matthew 20, she knelt down before him and Jesus said, what do you want? You know, it's almost like, you know, whatever you want, just ask me. She said, well, Jesus, could you grant my two sons to sit next to you, you know, when you come into your kingdom? One on your right, one on your left. Jesus said, you do not know what you're asking. And we don't often know what we're asking. And, you know, hey, that would be a good request by a mother. But later on, we see when Jesus is going through Samaria with his disciples, you know, the Bible says that his face was like flint going to Jerusalem. And the Samaritans rejected him, helping him. James and John said, hey, Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? Should we burn him up, Jesus? Just imagine if they were at his right hand right now, sharing the kingdom close to him. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. Our inability to express ourselves. And Paul's saying, likewise, the Spirit helps us from within. Our prayer requests so often misaligned according to God's will. Our need for help. Paul's saying there's a helper. You know, Jesus said the helper will come alongside and assist. Paul says he's comes inside and helps. He goes on, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. One of the actions and the operations of the Holy Spirit is that he intercedes from within us. I remember when I first came into this realization, I was in the back seat of someone's car, and I remember getting like goosebumps about it. The reality that the Holy Spirit is within us making intercession. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. You know, our advocate before the Father in heaven. But here we got an advocate within us. The Bible tells us that makes intercession from within us. Inside help. It's an inside job. He aligns our prayers according to God's will, the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus, you know, he said, when the Helper comes, the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, the operation of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. He'll give you recall, bring to remembrance the things that I have told you. You know, he'll teach you and instruct you. So many things he does from in us. Show you things to come. He's the Comforter. And here Paul tells of one of the operations of the Holy Spirit inside of us. He makes intercession for us. He assists within us for our prayers, interceding according to the will of God, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us with groanings that cannot be uttered. You know, some say that's speaking about the gift of tongues. You know, and the Holy Spirit within us, you know, he gives us the gift of tongues. And, you know, it could fit. You know, I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying maybe. No, no, he says there's groanings that go on within him. He relates to the groanings earlier on in the passage. You know, the groaning of creation that goes on. Groaning. Looking forward, anticipating the revealing of the sons of God. Then not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan within ourselves. Looking forward to the day we see him. And here, not only they, but also the Holy Spirit groaning. You know, regarding the gift of tongues, the Bible tells us that it's the only gift in the book of Corinthians that would edify the believer. So it kind of fits, you know, but I'm not saying it is. But it does kind of fit, you know, because it's the only gift. Most gifts, or all the other gifts, are for the benefit of the body. It's for others. But there's one gift, the gift of tongues, edify self. But he groans, the Bible tells us. Groanings, like creation groans, or we also groan within ourselves. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit himself, to bring forth the culmination of God's will in our lives, he intercedes on our behalf for that purpose, for that end, the Bible tells us. The next verse, verse 27, he says, now he who searches the hearts, that's the Father, God the Father, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Holy Spirit within us, making intercession for us. Turn back to 1 Chronicles 28. Here's some good fatherly advice. 1 Chronicles 28. Look at verse 9. Is the charge to Solomon given by David. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. A charge, a good charge, a good charge for graduation, a good charge for your own son, a good charge to us tonight. Seek him. He knows you. He knows what's in your heart. He searches your hearts. And now the searcher of the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's something going on inside that I don't understand. But it's scriptural. It's spiritual, and it's him. It's his plan. And he does it to align us according to God's will. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is, the Holy Spirit interceding for us according to the will of God. Jesus at the right hand of God making intercession for us in heaven, the Holy Spirit inside of us making intercession for us on earth. That's why it gives you goosebumps, because it's happening on earth. It's with us. You know, you think, man, if I only had some help. You know, and he's here. Help is available from within. And ongoing help. It is God who works in us, the Bible tells us. He's helping from within. works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The Bible tells us that he writes his law on the inside of our hearts, inside help. I remember we went through the book of Romans on Sunday mornings. That's what I entitled the message, Inside Help. It's an inside job. You know, there's no sign of break-in. You know, you watch Hawaii Five-O, you say, you know, it's an inside job. He knew the routine. He knows the patterns. There's no force entry. You got to let him in. He must have a key. He definitely knows. He's inside making intercession. You can almost see it in a caricature. You know, he comes in. You know, he's interceding. It's like he comes in. There's a lot of darkness in here. As he intercedes with the Father, he's already redecorated the interior of your hearts, his word. He wants to clean house. I could see him. I see him in some facets of my life. Man, there's a door in here that I can't budge open. It's been closed since childhood. There's some darkness. Oh, this guy's got secret sin. You know, it's kind of like an oxymoron to be a Christian or a hypocrite and be a Christian. There's no such person. You know, if you're hiding and you have some kind of sinful life, you got some kind of face on. There is no such lifestyle. God sees. Not only naked do we stand before him, he's on the inside, seeing everything. You know how often we say, Lord, help me, change me from the inside out. I am. He's on the inside making intercession for us according to the will of God. It's his power within. The deliverance from the Holy Spirit. Help inside. You know, for inside help, you know, I could see a commercial, you know. Are you lonely? Are you depressed? Do you need help? You can have help from the inside. Just ask Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. Spirit of Christ, comes in. And he'll help. He'll align you according to God's word. All you got to do is stick your neck out. Live by faith. And he'll meet that. And you know, as long as you're with him, he'll be with you. You don't have to be alone. That's what he said. I will not leave you as orphans. You know, when the helper comes, he'll guide you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll instruct you. He'll teach you. He'll bring it together. He'll give you vision, ears to hear. Isn't that what he said? You know, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, things which God has prepared for those who love him. But the Spirit reveals them to us from the inside. I'm not going to go forward anymore, so I just thought we'd chew on that for a while. And you come to certain places in the Scripture, and I think it's deserving of a good chew. You know, it's like eating a filet mignon or something, you know. Why rush? Just chew it. And I tell Josephina that all the time. Come on now, chew it up good. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the realization of the hope of glory, Lord, that it's not worthy to be compared with this present life or the suffering of this present life. And Lord, what awaits us, the best is yet to come. And Lord, the truth of your Spirit within us. Lord, if there's any secret sin or any image or masks, who is that masked man? It's carnality and sin. And Lord, we ask that you would take the mask off from the inside out. Lord, let us stop playing games with you and be one with you. And Lord, help us it caught up to speed with your intercession according to the will of God. Our life, your purpose, your plan, our energy. Lord, we thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. We ask that you lay your hand upon us, Lord, and that you would strengthen and bless, seal your word within us, Lord. Let us hand over all the keys to our heart, inside our life, our innermost being. Trust you with everything to have your way within us, Lord, that you might be comfortable. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought of, you know, so often we say, Lord, anoint us with the Spirit. We get this picture of, you know, the anointing from the outside, and it covers your head and drips down your beard and covers your body like Aaron was anointed. But really, it would come from the inside out. An anointing of God and the truth of him in us.